2 o'clock on this for Tuesday afternoon.
Where were you going?
I don't know.
Where were you inventing a day of the week?
Fruit Tuesday. It's a Fruit Tuesday.
It's about to give us a five-day weekend. I mean, keep going.
We're adding an eighth day to the week. Not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be a Fruit Tuesday. Is it ending a Y?
A Fruit Tuesday.
My God.
Wow.
I seriously have no idea where you were going there.
Oh, wow. I was going Friday afternoon is where I was going with
Friday
that.
Friday and Tuesday together?
I was going Friday afternoon, and then halfway through Friday, I realized it was Tuesday. On this for Tuesday afternoon.
Fruit Tuesday.
It's a Fruit Tuesday.
It's a Fruit Tuesday.
What a letdown that you thought it was Friday.
I know, right? Man. How am I going to get through the rest of this day thinking in the back of my mind I thought it was Friday?
I think I like weekdays better. There's less work on the weekday than there is on a weekend.
Well, that's you being your workaholic self there. So it's a Fruit Tuesday.
A Fruit Tuesday.
Have a banana, have an apple, have some grapes, have a pineapple, have some kiwi if you want.
What's your favorite fruit? I mean, Sarah, might as well just put that out there. What's your favorite fruit?
That's the whole question today.
On a Fruit Tuesday, what's your favorite fruit?
On this Fruit Tuesday.
Tuesday. It's a Fruit Tuesday. Wow. It's a new day of the week. It comes in between Monday and Tuesday.
Jordan, what's your favorite fruit?
I'd probably go orange.
An orange?
Yeah.
Gambo?
I'm going to go nectarine.
Wow.
I got to go nectarine.
All right. Sarah?
What do you got, Sarah?
A ripe pear.
Pear?
That's hard to beat.
Okay. I want to change mine to strawberry.
Strawberry?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a blueberry guy.
Blueberry.
I'm a blueberry.
Blueberry?
We're gonna see who has the best option.
We have a blueberry for a daughter.
Strawberry, pear, blueberry.
Nectarine.
All right.
Mm. I like nectarines.
Violet,
you're a blueberry.
You okay over there?
Yeah. I'm just doing my Willy Wonka.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah. All right. So happy Fruit Tuesday to everybody out there. Let's tell you what our.
I don't know if we can top that.
I don't really think we can. It's going to be
over. Let's go.
The rest of the show is going to be all downhill from here. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on this Tuesday.
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
Going deep here on the Burns and Gambo show with Dennis Smith Jr. Adrian Wojnarowski let off a Woj bomb last night in which he reported that the Mavericks were working hard on trying to trade their point guard, maybe Orlando, maybe Phoenix. He mentioned them by name. Gambo quickly took to social media last night to...
I sent up the scuttle, the missile that breaks up the bomb that's in the air. You know, that's a...
The scud?
Scud missile. I had my missile defense system up in the air.
You did.
So that thing wouldn't land here in Phoenix.
Here comes the Woj bomb. You took out the Woj bomb with the game.
And I'm like, there it is. Scud missile. Send it. Knock that thing out of the air before it gets to Phoenix.
The Scud missile.
Send that Woj bomb before...
That's what it was. That's what Gambo was working on last night.
He sent out the Scud missile. The Woj bomb got taken down before it reached Phoenix.
So it could go
to Orlando or Detroit. It's just not coming to Phoenix.
What did you find out in sending up your Scud missile about Dennis Smith?
I think a lot of people put this on, you know, this is a Woj versus Gambo, you know, battle. I mean, I don't know. Woj could be hearing that Dallas is trading Dennis Smith Jr. about 6 weeks ago. I had a very high-ranking NBA person tell me that, see if the Suns are interested in Dennis Smith Jr. because he's available. He wants out. He's not happy. A very prominent person told me this. And so we brought this up on the air several times that Dennis Smith Jr. was available. It's not something we haven't brought up. We brought this up. But 6 weeks ago when I checked on this, there wasn't really any interest. And then checking on it again last night, there was absolutely no interest in Dennis Smith Jr. So the Suns have no interest in him. And I mean, it's zero. Like, they have zero interest in him. I believe maybe it's Dallas just trying to get teams interested, or maybe it's an agent. But There is zero, and not even 1%. There's zero interest in Dennis Smith Jr. from the Phoenix Suns. Now, again, that Woj does a great job. I respect him, but he's wrong on the Suns having interest. He could be right on Orlando. He could be right if he's mentioned Detroit, which other people I know have mentioned Detroit. And he's very right that Dallas wants to trade Dennis Smith Jr. They do. I've known about this for 6 weeks that they wanted to trade him. I've discussed it with you. We've discussed it on air that he's available if they want to make a play for him. But he's got a torn ACL. And he's just not the type of player that they want at the point guard spot.
Be more specific. What are you talking about?
He's not a facilitator. He is an explosive player, even with the torn ACL. He's a dunker. Now, he's shooting the ball pretty well this season, but he's got the ball kind of rolls off his hand a little bit when he shoots. So he's not really considered a good shooter. He's been hurt. He's had some injuries, mainly the ACL. He's an explosive transition guy, but that's not what the Suns want. They want their point guard to be a little bit more of a facilitator and a defender, and they want their point guard to always be the fourth or fifth best option on the court when it comes to scoring. Because they have, you know, Josh has to get a volume of shots, and so does TJ, and so does DeAndre, and so does Devin, and so does Kelly. So they've got a lot of players who need volume shots. They don't want to bring a point guard in that wants to shoot the ball 15 times a game. They don't really want that. So it's not a player that they have interest in. They're not interested in Dennis Smith Jr., so we have to shoot that down.
I'm looking at, Gambo's firing off his scuds.
I'm
reading a story on the Dallas News website, sportsday.com, the Dallas newspaper there. And this perhaps will paint a picture as to why Dennis Smith Jr. does not fit very well here. A Maverick source compared Smith's situation this season to that of an only child who suddenly wakes up with a new sibling who's suddenly getting most of the attention. That new sibling, of course, is Luka Doncic.
Sure.
The sibling rivalry, the source said, mostly has had a positive effect in that it's got Smith improving his strength and his conditioning, raising his shooting percentage, trying to be a better player to keep up with the attention that Doncic is getting. But the source was quoted as saying it's not perfect. It's not perfect for Dennis because ultimately he wants to have the ball in his hands.
All the time.
That's kind of the way he's been his entire life. So this whole thing has been an adjustment, close quote. Well, newsflash. It's going to be an adjustment for Dennis Smith Jr. if he were to come here.
And Devin
Booker is going to have the ball in his hands a lot of the time.
Yeah. Now, listen, I mean, you know, there, and a lot of people trust Woj, and rightfully so, because he does a great job. But, you know, I'm telling you that the Suns are not interested in Dennis Smith Jr., and this could be coming from the Mavericks. It's probably coming from the Mavericks, who are desperate to trade him and desperate to unload Wesley Matthews' contract and they just want to get him out. It's not a good fit. Systematically, it's not a good fit for Dennis Smith. Now, he is not a high IQ basketball player, okay? He's not a high IQ basketball player. So I'm encouraged that the Suns don't want him. It's showing me patience. It's showing me poise. It's showing me I'm believing more in what the Suns are trying to do instead of making a rash decision and jumping at this player who doesn't really fit what they want to do. I think I'm encouraged by what they're doing. He's not a thinker on the court. He doesn't think when he's playing. He drives to the basket. He's had some unbelievable highlight dunks, and he's a tremendous athlete, but that's what he is. He's just an athlete, an explosive athlete, but he's not really considered a good shooter. And, you know, and he did come out of the gates kind of fast and everything, but there's a reason they're trying to move him. There is a reason that they want to get rid of him and they want to give up on him, you know, so badly. So they'd rather have a shooter around Luka Doncic than him, and he's not really a shooter. So it's obvious that they're trying to trade him. I've known about this for 6 weeks. We talked about it 6 weeks ago, but the Suns are not a team that wants them.
Well, I mean, look, it's pretty clear Dallas is going to do whatever it can to try to create a marketplace for him.
Right.
And the Suns are obviously have been a point guard needy team from day one. Orlando has been a point guard needy team from day one this season. If you're gonna try to create a marketplace for Dennis Smith Jr., that's one way to go about it, right? Pick two of the teams that have been involved in just about every point guard rumor since the beginning of the season and make it sound like you're talking with them, you're negotiating because you're trying to build an audience, you're trying to create a demand for Dennis Smith Jr.'s services. Apparently this morning there was a Slam Magazine Instagram post detailing the reported interest in Orlando and Phoenix in Dennis Smith Jr. He liked the post. So he, I mean, and I,
Dennis Smith Jr.?
Dennis Smith Jr.
Okay.
liked the post.
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked that. So it's, you know, again, we're now into the business of tracking what people like on social media as a means of reading their minds and trying to figure out what they're thinking. Rick Carlisle today, coach of the Mavs, said, look, rumors, you got to be a pro when you're dealing with them.
We all get into this business knowing that it's dynamic, knowing that trades are possible, knowing that everything's possible. Coaching changes, you name it. It's already a boiling pot of water, and if a couple of degrees here or there, big deal. You know, we all got to come in and be professionals and play and coach regardless.
In fact, Coach Carlisle was even asked if he's had a chance to talk to Smith Jr. about the rumors, and he said, "Well, I would, but he's out sick today."
Well, I expected that he was going to practice today, and then he got sick. I talked to his agent this morning. My expectation is that when his back is feeling good and when he's feeling well from an illness standpoint, that he'll be back practicing and then playing. Mm.
They're going to trade him. They have to trade him. He's a second-year point guard, and there are teams that may look at him and want a scorer. I mean, want somebody that can score. And, you know, Orlando could be a team, and I've heard Detroit could be a team, but I don't know. I could just tell you that Phoenix is not a team. They're going to be patient with what they have. They're developing D'Anthony Melton, who's done a very good job, and Elia Kobo, and they're still looking for a point guard. They are, and it may come more in free agency or after the season, but there is nothing to the report.
Yeah.
He has been available. The Suns have known he's been available, and they have not at any time during this 6 weeks that he's been available shown any interest.
It's interesting. This comes at a time. You mentioned D'Anthony Melton. In his last three games, he's averaging about 8 assists per game. He's played about 26 minutes per game in the month of January.
Defends
out of his mind. I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying the box has been checked, but it does, at least in the very short term, doesn't it? It feels like point guard, it doesn't feel as pressing as it has maybe in November or December
with this team, based off of how
Melton's playing.
Because Melton fits. Now, listen, if Melton had two or three more years experience, if he had another, you know, 150 games, 200 games under his belt, he might be the guy that they like to run this offense. He's a very, very good defender. Very good defender. And there's a misconception the Suns have all these on-the-ball defenders. It's really not the on-the-ball defenders that are playing so well for them. It's just that active. They've got active defenders.
Yeah.
A lot. And Melton is a very active defender. And he's playing well, really well in the system.
The interviews continue to roll on. A new name add to the mix today. What's going on with the Cardinals and their offensive coordinator search? We will give you the very latest coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thank one of our loyal listeners, JJ, for tweeting into the show. You just ruined my favorite part of the day. Fruit Tuesday. Okay, first of all,
on this Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
First of all,
I am an idiot.
If my shout out at the open of the show is your favorite part of the day,
I'm not a smart man.
You might need to reconsider your day a little bit. If that's truly the best part of your day, you might want to rethink that, JJ. Number two, I apologize for ruining the favorite part of your day by not knowing it was Tuesday, thinking it was Friday. Man. That's such a letdown when you open your mouth and you think it's a Friday and it's a Tuesday. Wow. Okay.
We just created a
Fruit Tuesday. It's Fruit Tuesday.
Pretend that the first half of the show is Tuesday and the second half of the show is Friday. Now let's just do that.
Fruit Tuesday.
We'll say goodnight, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll mix it up.
I vote for that.
Mix it up.
That's a good call. Jim Bob Cooter is the latest name to come up in connection
Jimmy Bob.
With the Arizona Cardinals and their offensive coordinator search. According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, the Cardinals are talking to former Lions offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter for their vacancy. He was fired by Matt Patricia at the end of this year. They had a lot of injuries they were dealing with. A lot of their players were traded. They moved Golden Tate halfway through the season, obviously, to the Eagles. The Cardinals are looking for a little bit of experience at the OC position to pair with their coach. We spent a lot of yesterday focused on John DeFilippo, the name that you had reported from over the weekend. Obviously, this interview suggests that Not that they've soured on DeFilippo. I'm not suggesting that at all, but clearly.
He interviewed with Jacksonville, so he's got another option, at least another option.
The Cardinals are kind of considering all options, trying on a lot of different pairs of shoes and seeing which one fits the best right now.
You sitting down? You might have to sit down for this one. It's just not that important of a hire to them. You know, it sounds crazy. Right? That's why I want to make sure you're sitting.
For a second, I thought we were going to have to get the breaking news sounder ready. I thought maybe you had some big serious stuff to tell us.
No. On this Fruit Tuesday, the offensive coordinator is not. Look, they're going through the process. They're interviewing offensive coordinators, and obviously they want to hire a quality guy. Okay, so it's not like they're just going to hire anybody. And they're doing their homework on these guys. But the most important hires have already been made. And that's the truth. The offensive line coach was a more important hire than the OC. And this is the truth. Okay? The defensive coordinator was a more important hire. The head coach. So the head coach 1, the defensive coordinator 2, the offensive line coach 3, the running backs coach 4. The offensive coordinator is actually behind some of these hires. And I know it seems almost impossible to believe.
It's counterintuitive to what we're used to, right?
It's true.
It runs strictly against this way that we're used to things being done in the NFL, right?
I know a lot of people are probably like, what are you talking about? It's the offensive coordinator. He's not going to call plays, okay? The offensive line hire by the Cardinals is something that was more important to them than the offensive coordinator. And it's the truth. The offensive line coach was a more important hire. They needed to get a good guy. The offensive coordinator, they like DeFilippo. They'd like to hire him. You know, they didn't like Sarkisian. He wasn't getting hired. McAdoo, maybe. Jim Bob, maybe if DeFilippo doesn't take this job, then maybe Jim Bob. I still believe that they like DeFilippo and they like him to take the job, but he does have another option, I believe, possibly another option with Jacksonville. Jim Bob Cooter is a guy that some people like, he's worked with quarterbacks before, and it's possible that this is a good development and they could end up having him to help develop Rosen, but it's just not like. They have to get this guy right now.
I looked up his offensive numbers when he was the OC with Detroit for the last 4 years, and they were about what I expected. Offense in terms of yards, they were 20th, 21st, 13th, 24th. In terms of points, they were 18th, 20th, 7th, 25th.
Nothing special.
Passing offense, they were good. 9th, 11th, 6th, and 20th over the last 4 years. Rushing offense, they were abysmal. 32nd, 30th, 32nd, 23rd. But you telling me what you're telling me kind of sparked this idea in my head.
Okay, let me hear it.
Well, just how hard it's got to be an offensive coordinator.
When you're not calling the plays.
To find a job. I mean, you can find a job, but to find a job that you want to do, that you're accustomed to doing, right? I mean, if you're Jim Bob Cooter, you're used to going in there and selling somebody on your ability to call plays, to be a traditional offensive coordinator. If you are a traditional offensive coordinator in today's NFL, man, if you're not a head coach, then you're behind the O-line guy. Right?
You are.
You're behind the running backs coach.
You are.
And that in and of itself might make the job not all that appealing to the John DeFilippos of the world. Or
I hate to
the
say
Jim Bob Cooters
not,
of the world. It just might not look that great.
It doesn't. It's not what you believe. We believe in like a hierarchy.
Yeah, a hierarchy. Right.
Like an order. Like from here to here to here to here. But it's not working that way. There is, without a doubt, with no question, the offensive line coach was a more important hire to them than the offensive coordinator. The running backs coach was a very important hire to them to work with David Johnson. Very important hire, more so than the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator is, they're going through the process. They'll hire somebody that's capable, but this guy's not calling plays, and he's not specifically working with the running backs. That's Saxon, and he's not working with the offensive lineman.
Right.
That's Kugler, so he's a little bit like what you said, a little bit of a bench coach in baseball, sounding board. I'm going to give you some ideas. I've been an offensive coordinator before. Let me bounce some ideas off me. I'll tell you what I think type of thing. But it's the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals is not as important a position as you would believe it to be in the past.
And it could, and to me, this is, like I said a second ago, this is kind of a two-sided coin. It could be that the Jim Bob Cooters of the world or the John DeFilippos of the world are coming in and they're hearing the Cardinals' vision of how this is all going to work, and they go, well, okay, thanks for the interview. I appreciate it. I'm going to go fly to Jacksonville and see what they have to say. I'm going to go fly to wherever Jim Bob Cooter is going to fly to right. next to see what he has to say. Because when you walk out of that interview, I have you ever interviewed for a job in your life?
No.
Okay. I have. Sometimes you walk out of the interview and you go, I don't really want to do that. I mean, you want the gig. You need a gig, right? You can't say no to everything. But sometimes you walk out of a job interview, and 99% of our audience can relate to walking out of a job interview.
I've never had a job interview.
Candyland over there, where you've never had an interview for a job in your life.
Put a disguise on me, and I'll go try to get a job somewhere.
The rest of the real world that has had to interview for jobs. I mean, yeah. Sarah, can you? I mean, sometimes you walk out of a job interview, and you go. Thanks, but no thanks. That's not what I want to do. That's not how much I want to make. I think I can do better. And I wonder if some of these guys are walking out of the Cardinals, that are as great as it might be to work there, they might be walking out of there going, yeah, no thanks. I'm good. You've already hired an O-line coach. You've already hired a running back coach.
But don't you want the job when you're going for the interview? Like,
not always. No.
No.
Oh, no, no, no.
So if you're going for a job interview, you may not want the job?
No.
Why go for the interview?
Get your name out there.
Yep.
Good practice. See what they're looking for when they interview.
Sometimes before you go into the interview, you don't know exactly what the job is going to be. And then when you go into the interview and you hear their vision of what the job is halfway through the interview, you go, oh, yeah, no, that's not what I want to do. Never mind. I'll pass. I mean, no disrespect to the Cardinals, but let's be honest. What they're selling, an experienced offensive coordinator might not want.
Right.
I'm good. Yeah. I don't want that. I'll pass. Thank you.
I didn't have a choice my first job.
Was that the one with the mob?
I worked for the mob. Told me what to do. I did it.
You mean you didn't go through a Leonardo DiCaprio-style interview in The Departed where Jack Nicholson took a hammer and broke your hand?
I did not know. I was just
because that's how Nicholson interviewed DiCaprio.
It wasn't I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you were in New York Mafia. In the Boston Mafia, that's how they do it, right? Yeah. Where DiCaprio has his hand smashed by Nicholson.
No, I never had my hand
just to test his loyalty. No, because that was the interview for DiCaprio in The Departed.
The things I was asked to do, it wasn't like you said no to those things. That you did what they told you to do.
Never interviewed for a job in your life. Seriously, how is the weather over there in your world?
You are a national treasure, Gambo.
What color is the sky in your world that you've never had to interview for in your life?
I've never had to interview for a job.
This might be more appropriate for off-air, but how did you land here without an interview?
They just hired me.
Okay.
They just hired me. I had no radio experience when I moved here. I was a newspaper guy. I got the newspaper job because my buddy Greg was working for the newspaper, and he got me the job.
Hosting a show with Gambo every day is like playing Candyland from 2 until 6.
Because I was talking about potato chips on the back of a bag one day, and the program director said, you'd be good on radio. And so he just hired me. I didn't interview. I never interviewed for a job. I'd like to be fun.
You'd be fun.
We should do that. We should set me up like a
disguise.
I want to see if I can get a job. Like, we won't tell anybody. I'll go interview somewhere and try to get a job and see if I could do it. Like, pick something out. I'll put a disguise on, a fake name, and I'll go interview for a job. We'll see if I can get it.
You are a national treasure,
Gambo. I'd like to see if I could.
Why did Bruce Arians return to coaching so soon after retiring? What does he think about Cliff Kingsbury coaching the Cardinals? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Our American woman, Sarah Cazell, standing by on the other side of the glass with today's Twitter poll question of the day. I think we have a couple of them now for those of you just tuning in.
Two Twitter poll questions on this Fruit Tuesday.
The reason why we have a fruit-related Twitter poll question was because when I did my shout-out at the beginning of the show, I thought for a second it was Friday, and I realized halfway through that it was Tuesday.
On this Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
That's a Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
It's a Fruit Tuesday.
Happy Fruit Tuesday, everybody. everybody.
Happy Fruit Tuesday.
Have a banana on the Burns and Gambo show. It's good potassium for you.
I'm expecting. What's that place that has that sends all the packages with just fruit? What are those things?
Oh,
called?
What is it? The
edible arrangement.
I'm expecting an edible arrangement to arrive here before 6 o'clock.
If we don't get an edible arrangement today,
if we don't get an edible arrangement,
I might actually be a little disappointed
if
somebody.
It's a Fruit Tuesday.
Some honeydew melon
and some cantaloupe.
They got pineapple
and strawberries.
And grapes. This poll question, it's okay. So there's too many fruits to pull. I mean, we just all picked our favorites, and that's the one, that's the poll question, right, Sarah?
Yes.
All right, what do you got?
All right. Well, do you want to start with the Fruit Tuesday one, or do you want to start with the sportsy one?
No, go with the Fruit Tuesday.
Okay,
let's
Fruit
get it out
Tuesday.
Of the way.
Yeah. All right. So we picked our four favorite fruits, like you just said, and Jordan Bird's pick, strawberries, is running away with it, 55%. But that's like cheating. Everyone likes strawberries. 20% voted for blueberries. Oh, it just went down to 19%.
That's okay.
15% had my pick, pears, and then Gambo, 11% like your nectarines.
The nectarines are coming in last.
All right. Yeah. What's
I could have went pineapple. I like pineapple.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. What's the sports question today?
All right. The sports question is, where will Oklahoma QB / Oakland A's draftee Kyler Murray go in the 2019 NFL draft? Of course, this comes after he declared for the draft yesterday. 45% say he will go in the first round of the NFL draft. 28% say top 10 overall. 21% say he'll go in the second round or beyond. And 6% say doesn't matter, he is sticking with baseball.
Only 6% thinks he's sticking with baseball. That's good stuff.
I was one of those 6%.
Me too.
All right, Sarah Cazell with our two Twitter poll questions. You can find them on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page.
No, I think they were, as Michael said, I think they were way down the road already. Looking at what they were going to do, and no, I had no conversations.
That was Bruce Arians this morning on with Doug and Wolf when asked the question.
Interview with Doug and Wolf this morning. They did a really good job. I got a lot of great questions in. I really, really enjoyed listening to that interview this morning.
Yeah, did the Cardinals ever call you when they were looking for a coach? And he said no. Like Michael said, they were too far along the process. They did not reach out to me.
These are the questions we wanted to hear answers to, and that's why I thought that they did a really, really good job. On the interview, yeah. Did the Cardinals reach out to you at all? No, they were too far along in the process. And look, I think that, you know, that bridge had been crossed. Like BA had been the coach to bring him back. It was time for BA. If he wanted to coach, he had to go somewhere else.
Cardinals had
to hire somebody else.
Bickley made a real good point about that today. I mean, look, if they wanted to talk to BA, I don't care how far down the road they were, they could have talked to BA if they wanted to. Right? I mean, you could be 75% convinced, 80% convinced you were going to hire Cliff Kingsbury. If you really wanted to talk to BA and you knew he was getting back into coaching, there's no reason you couldn't have at least made a phone call and said, hey, is it worth it for us to talk or no? If you wanted to. They didn't. According to Bruce, they never spoke. And I think to your point, they probably felt like, you know what? Been there, done that.
Yeah,
ready to move on.
Yeah.
Ready to try
had
something
a chance
else.
For a young, innovative play caller in Cliff Kingsbury. And, you know, risk or not, that's the direction that they wanted to go in. And I don't think that they wanted to go hire a 66-year-old coach, even though he had had success here and been great. I think it was just a mutual parting of the ways in some ways. I think Bruce needed a year off, recharge the batteries. I think it was good for him, take a year off and recharge the batteries. And you know, the Cardinals went in a direction that flopped. It failed miserably with Steve Wilkes. And now they're, you know, BA's going back to coaching, and the Cardinals hiring a guy who, in many ways, might be a younger version of Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians was asked by the guys this morning, why are you even back in coaching?
Each week, as I broadcasted games and going to practice every Friday, the fire started burning. I think it was like week 8 or 9. I'm standing on the sideline, and a DB just I started across to coach him. And I said, "Oh, this isn't my team. I can't do that." and things had to fall into place for me to do it. I mean, Jason Light and ownership at Tampa Bay had a huge part of it, and obviously Jameis Winston.
And he was asked kind of point blank, did you not like the broadcast booth? And in typical BA fashion, he gave them a very point blank answer.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
I was biting my tongue, man. I really couldn't be me. And I got in trouble for saying the guy was wide ass open one time. And
that
was my first game. That was the first game I did. And so that and having you're talking and somebody's talking in your ear, that's really hard.
You're talking and somebody's talking in your ear. It's really hard. Wide ass open. He didn't like the booth. It's not for him.
He wasn't very good at it either. I mean, if we're
we're
being honest about it, it didn't fit him.
I love listening to Kurt Warner call a game. I think Kurt Warner's outstanding. He's one of the best that describes everything so well, really brings you the insight and the knowledge and helps you understand it in ways that, you know, even if you never played football, if you're just a casual fan, you could understand it. I think it's harder for BA. I think being a coach, I think it's harder for him to, you know, to do that, where I think Kurt just does a great job and us can relate. It was time for him to get back to coaching or just retire. It's just retire. And, you know, it just seems like BA is the type of guy that doesn't want to. I don't want to sit at home all day. I don't want to be at home. I don't want to read a book. I don't want to watch TV.
I don't want to go out on the lake. I don't want to.
Yeah, so people retire. It's like, man, there's so many things that I want to do, right? I want to do this. I want to do that. BA's like, I don't want to do any of that.
I want to coach.
I want to coach. I like the lake, but I could do that on my spare time. But I don't want to do it every day. I'll get bored of it. That's just him.
It's a good interview with the guys this morning.
It was a very good interview.
You should check it out either at arizonasports.com or on our app or by subscribing to the podcast for each of the shows. It was a really good interview, and it was good to hear BA kind of explain his thought process and maybe why not Arizona. It is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of two-day general admission tickets to the Innings Festival, where you're going to see Eddie Vedder, Incubus, Jimmy Eat World, and many others at Tempe Beach Park, March 2nd and 3rd. Listen at 4:15 this afternoon for your chance to win. He is back tonight, but Devin Booker needs to proceed with caution tonight in Indianapolis, and we'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome in on this Tuesday afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thanks for hanging out with us on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Suns taking on the Pacers tonight.
They're taking on who?
The Indiana Pacers.
And what does that mean for the Pacers?
Bad news for the Pacers!
Bad news for the Pacers!
Bad news for the Pacers. Jordan, I noticed you're putting a little extra emphasis on your end there.
Hey, when you have a one-game winning streak, you know, you got to get excited.
Hey, we've got our best stretch since 2014 going on here, according to Dave Burns.
Well, actually,
the Suns have their best stretch since 2014.
According to one of our favorite Suns-related websites, Bright Side of the Sun. I mean, look, it does, when you think about this stat for a minute, it does feel like this stat is true. I know the stat is by its very nature true, but if you've been watching this team for the last month, this feels right. Here's the stat. They're 7-9 in their last 16 games. That's the best 16-game stretch since early 2014. Now, that's pathetic. It's pathetic that is the best 16-game stretch this organization has been able to muster in 4 years. That's miserable. That's awful. That stinks. But relative to what we've seen the last couple of years, this 16-game stretch they're in the middle of, it has felt like real, genuine, legitimate progress. Not smooth, not always easy, at times painful. That homestand was awful when you were off in Finland and they were losing every night, down by 25 or 30 every night. But
then they beat Sacramento and then they beat Denver. And listen, they played three of those games without Devin Booker. Devin Booker is back tonight.
Yes.
I just tweeted this out. There is no minute limit restrictions for Devin Booker's return tonight. So even with the back spasms and bringing him back after missing a few games, there's no trying to limit him to 20 minutes or 25 or 30. There are no restrictions on the amount of minutes he can play. So as long as he's feeling good, he'll play a lot. But this is an opportunity here to win another game, and you get to 8-9 in your last 17, and then maybe you can get to 500. And it's just, they're playing a lot better. Now, offensive efficiency with Booker out has struggled a little bit, but their identity really has been defense, because at any one time, they could have five really good defensive players on the court. At any one time, I mean, they have the ability to have five good defenders on the court. And as I was telling you earlier, I mean, this is a requirement in today's game that the Suns are putting out there for players that they want to bring in. A requirement that you cannot get on the floor unless you defend. And I haven't talked about this yet, but I'll talk about it now because this came out of my conversations regarding Dennis Smith. They want guys that can defend, guys that are active. You don't have to be a crazy one-on-one defender, but you've got a team defend. So this is now a requirement for them in the way that they want to play, that if you want to be on the floor, if you want to play, you got to work hard to defend. You have to be an active defender. And that's what they're trying to build around Booker. They're trying to build him. Now, maybe this encourages Booker to be a better defender, too. We'll see. But he will help add to their offensive efficiency, which they've struggled at times with him out of the lineup, but they have played great defense with him out of the lineup.
I think as it relates to him and how he plays defensively, I think back to that road trip where they went 3-2 and that stretch where they had won 5 of 7 games. Booker was defending decently during that stretch. Not great, but decent enough that he could justify his presence on the floor from a defensive standpoint. He can always justify his presence on the floor from an offensive standpoint. But defensively, I think he sort of got the idea that this identity was starting to be formed and that you have to play a certain way if you're going to be on the floor. And I'll be curious to see if Booker, after missing the last few games, plays with that same intensity that we've seen out of this club defensively the last 3 games or so. The article I read in Bright Side of the Sun brought up a really interesting point that put it into words better than I could have, because I kind of had this thought a little bit yesterday. Well, Devin Booker, given how well the team has played in the last 3 games, will he go hero ball tonight, or will he do more to try to fit in with what has worked well for the team in his absence? And the exact words that Dave King, who wrote the article, used, quote, "My hope is Booker actively tries to fit into the team's recent success rather than taking it back over," close quote. Do we need to see that out of Devin Booker tonight, given how they've played the last few games?
Every game's different. There are games that he needs to take over and go score 30, 35, 40 points. There are games in which he has to be the best player on the court. And there are other games when other guys are going well that he has to defer it a little bit and just, you know, be part of a group of players that are scoring. They have guys that are not efficient unless they are getting shots up, and that's Josh Jackson and TJ Warren and DeAndre. Those guys need to get shots in order to be in the game. You know, they need to, like a goalie needs to see a certain amount of pucks.
Mm-hmm.
A goalies are better when they get 30 shots on them than when they get 15 shots on them. It's weird to say it, but it's true. A goalie is a lot better when they get 25, 30 shots because they're more active. They're into it than 15 because for the players on this team, they do have guys that need volume. There are guys that need shots, and I think, you know, Booker understands that, but Booker's the star, and let's make no mistake about that. He's their best player. He's got the ability to carry the team. He's got to be the main guy. Everybody else is second and third and stuff like that. On any given night, somebody could be the main guy, but Booker has to, for this team to eventually get where they have to go, he's got to be the star.
And something that needs to be pointed out about Booker, too, he's averaging 7 assists per game, right? I mean,
yes,
he's doing as good a job as he ever has in getting guys involved. So I don't want to make it sound like Devin Booker's going to show up tonight and he's going to jack up 40 shots and everybody's going to have to fight for leftovers. He won't do that tonight. He'll get guys involved the way he has in the point book. But other guys, in this brief 3 games that Booker's been gone, it's been a nice little 3-game stretch for DeAnthony Melton.
Yes.
He's sort of established himself. Oubre's established himself a little bit.
I love Oubre.
And again, the line, a different line that Dave used in writing the article, Booker needs to make sure the other guys don't fade back into the woodwork. And I think he's referring to guys like Melton and Oubre, and maybe even a little bit Josh Jackson, who's looked decent at times starting for Devin Booker the last few games with the play that he's put on there. Booker needs to, it's going to be a fine line for him to walk, and I'll be kind of curious to see how he walks it in terms of making sure these guys stay engaged.
Listen, the thing about Melton's development, and what I liked the other night with the 10 assists and no field goals made but 10 assists, is if he can get guys open shots and open looks, Booker has never really been able to benefit from that. Somebody getting Booker open looks and open, so a lot of times he has to create his own shot. You know, go one-on-one, go isolation, or come off of a pick. If somebody can get, if Booker can move without the ball and get some open looks and some open shots because they've got a good point guard that's getting him the ball, then that's just going to make him better and just make it easier on him and get to pace yourself a little bit. Sometimes you got to get some easy buckets, whether it's off a turnover in transition. And this is one of the things you're noticing, too, with the defense is the easy buckets that they're getting off of turnovers in transition.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're getting some easy buckets, and that's and guys need that, you know, because You don't want to constantly have the mental pressure of the 24-second shot clock and trying to move the ball, and find the good shot. Sometimes you come up with a deflection and a steal, and you go in for a layup on the other end. I mean, that's great. I mean, it gives everybody a little bit of a break.
Igor was on with Doug and Wolf this morning, and he said there's no doubt that Booker is willing to make the right plays when he's out there.
I know Booker is willing to make a right play. Obviously, he's capable. Score one of the best weapons in the league, but again, playing right way means, you know, whatever game, whatever team allows you to do. If that's a wide open shot to take, and if somebody's available, move the ball. So I don't think that we're going to change that, and that's something that we're preaching, that we believe as a group. But on the flip side, again, when somebody like Book is on the course, that type of the player, he demands certain things, and it's a two-way street.
The Indiana Pacers, the league's best record since December 1st.
The best record in the West, and the Suns took them down the other night.
I'm not judging it. I'm just so for perspective's sake, when we talk about what we're going into tonight with the 5 o'clock tip-off, we'll keep you completely updated on the game here on the Burns and Gambo Show. But the Indiana Pacers, league's best record since December 1st, so there's that. Have you subscribed yet to the Burns and Gambo podcast? It'd be great if you did. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android device. You'll never miss any of the show. We'll just send it right to you every single day. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast. It's brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. For the time being, he's going to the NFL. How will the inclusion of Kyler Murray impact the draft this spring, and in particular, the Arizona Cardinals this spring? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.